This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You guys, hi, we're back.
Hey, we're back from a week-long hiatus.
And now we're here to deliver your favorite.
To give you nightmares and anxiety.
Your favorite. My favorite. Murder.
Everyone's favorite. My favorite.
Murder.
I didn't get that. Sorry.
We should have rehearsed that.
We should have. That's Karen.
And that's Georgia. And yes, we've been on a slight hiatus.
Yeah, we had life things happen to us.
Very large life things.
Not murder, thank God.
No. But nice things. Yeah, Georgia got married in a beautiful ceremony on the coast.
Thank you. Karen's mom died.
She died. After a long illness.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's okay. It was actually really lovely.
Yeah.
It was kind of, for me, it was a big, about 2 week period though.
Of stress?
Yeah, or just like big feelings.
Of waiting between her passing and having to do the memorial.
Yeah.
Which is rare, right?
Yeah. I think my dad was waiting. He put a little time in there so that people could come.
Yeah.
And plan it out and make sure they were there. And then it turned out to be a brilliant idea because there was tons of people.
Aww.
It was really lovely.
That's great. I'm so glad.
Yeah. It was nice. When I drove back home, the front end of my car fell off.
What?
Didn't I tell you that?
No.
I drove 6 hours back from San Francisco, took the Riverside exit, came to a stop, and the front bumper, like everything under the lights and down, just went into the street.
Oh, shit.
And this is my favorite part. I had to pick it up and stick it into my car, which is very small. And there was a guy in the car next to me. He's like, "Do you need my help?" And I was like, "Yes." And so he helped me put it in the car.
Aww.
And as he came around the side to help me, he looked at all the other cars around us and goes, "You can help people, you know," and started yelling at everybody else for not helping me.
Oh, I love him.
Which was beautiful. And how I think many of us feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so nice. Yeah. There's this like, do I help or is that weird if I help?
Right. And can I be of help? Like if it was me, I'd be like, can I even lift that thing or whatever?
Do you need anything?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want me to park in front of your car with my lights on so if they hit me they won't hit you who's out of her car?
Should I use myself as a human shield
exactly
to make sure no more damage comes to your car?
Exactly. Or do you want me to play some really good music so you can like do this with
get it done quicker?
Yeah.
And how do you feel after your big weekend?
I feel great. The wedding, the whole fucking weekend was like, I'm gonna cry if I start talking about it. It was like perfect and wonderful and like this outpouring of love. And Vince said this really sweet thing of like, you know, when you go to weddings and you can tell a wedding, people believe that you're a good couple when they have a really good time at your wedding.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like you don't want to fucking dance to like Boogie On Down when you're like, well, I'm pretty sure he's gonna die of a heroin overdose or cheat on her.
Yes.
Or she's like, I know she's fucked, or you know.
No, everybody had like hearts in their own eyes about your guy's marriage.
It was nice.
Everybody cried at the ceremony because you started having a little bit of a cry voice, but like you were trying to cover it.
I was.
So your voice just kept getting higher and higher and higher. It was my favorite. You were like, "Hi, Georgia."
Like, really?
It was so cute.
There was this moment that when I first got up there, like, I just had immediately started crying, but I didn't want tears because I didn't want my makeup to get ruined, so it just came out of my nose instead. And I gestured towards Vince's pocket square.
Yeah.
And he, like, thought he fixed it because he thought I was, like, in the middle of our ceremony going, like, fix your pocket square. And I was mortified. I was like, no, can I have that? And he gave it to me, and I just snotted all over his pocket square. But what kind of a human being would I be if I was like, fix your pocket square?
I think he was just like, whatever you need. Yeah. This is what I'm doing what you need. That was a really hilarious moment, though, because no, I didn't see the fix it.
Okay, good.
Or any of that. I literally saw you point toward it and then him flick out, like a magician, a big, huge red handkerchief. It was very, very cute.
Okay, good.
And that's what I'm all about these days, real feelings, real time, real feelings.
Here they are. They're just out there and you can grab them and...
Well, because, and it's like, of course you're crying. Of course, it's like, these are, you know, these are the peak experiences of all of our lives.
Are the days to hold on to. Because they will not last forever.
Nope.
Right?
Do they want to?
Something because they want to.
I'm doing Billy Joel. Yeah. Which one are you doing?
I think I'm doing that too.
Da-da-ba.
These are the days to hold on to. That one.
These are big.
This has been My Favorite Murder.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Don't even talk about it. People are like, I got nothing that I came here for.
No, we mean we're murdering it at life. Yeah. Not murders.
We're murdering emotions.
Before we talk about our favorite murders, I want to ask you, and I haven't watched this week, but did you watch this People versus O.J. Simpson last week?
Oh, yeah.
How did you feel about Dominic Dunn's character?
Okay, wait. Is it the one where he was standing? Was it the part where he was standing there? Are you talking about last week, or I just watched one last night?
No, I didn't watch that one yet.
Okay.
The one where he first makes an appearance, and everyone knows who he is. He's like a famous crime journalist.
I felt good about his character. Like, I felt like it was accurate to who Dominic Dunn was.
And it was amazing. But he was like, he reminded me, his character is so outlandish and insane as a human being he is.
Yeah.
That it reminded me of, like, in Cold Blood, what's his name?
Truman Capote.
Truman Capote's character. You know, it's just so outlandish. And it's really not necessary in the show.
Right.
But I loved it.
Well, but he is... I mean, I bet you part of the reason he's there is because he wrote so much on that trial in the real time.
Yes.
And kind of contributed to probably what they're researching. Like, they might be reading some of his stuff.
No, you're totally right.
Is he still alive, Dominic Dunn?
I don't think so.
I'm not sure.
Possible. And of course, we all know his daughter, Dominique Dunn, got shot by a rabid fan of hers, stalker.
Yeah, a stalker.
Pretty amazing.
I mean, he's kind of one of the original, and he had a great Power, Privilege, and Justice.
Oh, that was
such a good show.
Really good show, but you can find it online.
Yeah. But he's not a good narrator because he talks too slow.
Right.
And he has a lot of gravitas that he adds on that he doesn't need.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you already have tiny glasses. We know that you know what you're talking about.
Well, what's so great about The People versus O.J. Simpson is there's so many moments in it, including his gravitas and his, you know, cadence that you have to... We've stopped so many times during the show to be like, did that really happen? And look it up, and it fucking really happened.
You mean like the Faye Resnick thing?
Yes, that was amazing. A fucking Brentwood hello.
A Brentwood hello? Is that even... There's no way that was a thing they did.
I bet it was.
Are you serious?
Yes. I bet it was in the book.
Right.
I bet someone researched the book.
No, for sure. But I mean, do you think her book was totally true?
Oh, I see what you're saying, but then
she seemed like a boozy fool.
No, I don't think it was true.
I mean, like, it just seemed like she was talking.
Yeah, she's like, we did coke all the time.
We were crazy. Which is like, sure, probably. But to act like you did that every morning in random homes.
Right. And that was like the lifestyle, and not like they had children that they had to raise and take to school and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that part, I actually did look up what Faye Resnick's role was, because I didn't remember her from when it happened in real life, and all that stuff was true.
Oh my god! Someone posted on our Facebook group their photo of their copy of that book that they've had, like it's like an original copy or something.
Oh.
It's like this is a good group of people.
Man, if I get murdered terribly,
I will.
You can spill it. You know what? You know, you have my official digital permission to just say whatever you think would work best and make you the most money.
What do you think the Burbank goodbye is? Really, that's gross.
That'd be like slightly dinging the side of your minivan out of a Trader Joe's parking lot. Bye.
Yeah.
All right. So today our theme is unsolved murders.
Yes. It's an easy one because...
because we've been busy. And I think, didn't I make it up while we were standing in the parking lot at the end of your wedding?
Yes. You were like, you weekend? Know what? Let's just...
here's a nice open one that won't... that we'll have lots of choices for.
Yeah. But I feel like throughout, like... As we go on, they'll be easier, and then they're going to get harder and harder. God damn, this thing's in my eye.
Do you think they're going to get easier, then get harder, and then get easier again?
Yeah, like, I think there'll be a point where, like, we're just getting too specific. We need to get, you know what I mean? Where we, like, like try to make it easier on ourselves.
Yes.
Over, like, sandwiches.
We're going to be, work all the way down to two shots to the back of the head at midnight, and then we'll be like...
okay. Murders that happened in 1936, in January of 1936.
Wait. The Pantaloon murders.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first?
Do you?
Whatever you think. I have a theory. We were just talking about this. George and I both think that there's a chance we may have picked the same unsolved murder.
Yeah, let me tell you what my original one was going to be. But okay. I ended up changing because I was like, because first of all, it's like near your hometown.
Oh, okay.
So there's no way you didn't know it. And then, oh, fuck. And then I looked it up and it was like, I had liked it because there was like, it was just so random, but that meant there really wasn't that much interesting stuff about it.
Right.
And then also, it also meant that I also looked it up and it was like, well, this is who probably did it. And so it was like not.
That... it seemed kind of like an obvious answer.
Exactly. So it was the 2000, mine was going to be the Jenner, California double murder in 2004, where those kids were camping out on a beach and just got shot with a fucking rare, weird gun.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Because it didn't just happen there. It also happened in San Francisco.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I hadn't realized that had happened. I hadn't realized that they had a couple obvious suspects. And so I was going to do that.
I like that one, though, because... me too. And also, weren't they like... when I like the story when you're reading it and it's like, these were two children from a Christian camp.
Oh, they
were like as squeaky clean as you could possibly be.
Yeah, they were.
And out in the middle, Jenner is like a big grassy open field of nothing. The idea that you would get murdered in Jenner is like someone was going way out of their way.
Right. Or knew the area so well.
Right.
And was, the first thing that came to my mind was that they pissed someone off earlier the day.
Yeah.
Maybe road rage, and they saw their fucking car parked out there in the middle of the night. You know, something's really simple.
Yeah. There's also that rando serial killer that just traveled all across the whole United States. I think his first name was Israel.
Holy shit.
You know that guy?
No.
And he looks like a guy that would work at REI. When I saw his picture, I got super freaked out.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever been in an REI.
REI is like... you know, like Patagonia. It's North Face.
Who works? I don't know who looks.
Oh, just like a dude who would have like medium length, sandy blonde, curly hair.
Necklace.
Yes, a rope necklace. Mm-hmm. That's what this guy looked like. And he was randomly killing people all across the country, everywhere he went. And then when they caught him, he committed suicide. So no one knows if like... what he did.
It's just so interesting that the gun was from like 1896.
Oh, is that right?
It was like a shotgun from 1896. That's probably wrong. But
like a really old vintage.
Yeah, you shouldn't kill someone with a gun so rare. Everyone take note. If you're going to kill someone, make it a really obvious gun. Not obvious gun.
Yeah, because the antique gun's obvious, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was he like, loading a musket on the beach?
Yeah, they were saying it was one of those fucking guns.
No.
Yeah.
That's terrible. And that would mean that there's a delay between killing one and killing the other.
Yeah, and he must have been a good shot if it was at night.
Oy.
And he grabbed the shell casings, too, so there's no shell casings left, which means he must have known where they went, because if he was in the sand, maybe he grabbed them out of the air or had like a...
oh, he had a metal detector. Ooh.
Did I tell you Allie got me a metal detector for... yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Who did?
Allie got me for my wedding.
No, that is the best gift I've ever heard of.
You have no idea. I've been talking about that, wanting one, and like just wanting to disappear from life and go be a metal detectist.
Yes.
So kind of thing.
A detectress?
Detectress. Oh my God, that's my new show, The Detectress.
The Detectress, because I just saw a thing for Metal Detector Vacations.
Oh.
And I was like, I want to meet the person who would want to go on a metal detector vacation with me. That is like, every time I see something like that, I'm like, that's what I like.
Yes.
Like, I can never figure out what I like till I see it.
I just saw a guy who fucking found a Viking treasure in England with a metal detector.
That, you mean the hoard of coins?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it's so funny. I didn't know that. So did you know that a metal detector is just something you can just like buy on Amazon? I had no idea.
Yeah.
Like I didn't, it seems like something I want so bad that it doesn't make any sense. That's just like a thing you can buy for like probably $59.
Oh, like you think the government issues them for thousands of dollars?
Or they're like, you can't get a cheap one. They don't work, you know, like they only work. So you want to go with me to the fucking abandoned zoo in Griffith Park?
Hell yeah.
And we'll go. And she bought me a shovel and gloves.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye. If you're like me, you're always looking for a story to dive into. Whether it's a family drama or a mystery to solve, the key to getting hooked is the details. I need rich visuals and intricate storylines, and June's Journey has that and more. June's Journey is a mobile mystery game that follows June Parker, a daring young woman, on a quest to uncover the truth about her sister's murder. This is your chance to test your detective skills because you'll play the game as June herself. Explore beautifully designed scenes from the 1920s, like lavish estates and gardens, and don't forget to keep an eye out for hidden clues. There are twists, turns, and catchy tunes, all leading you deeper into the thrilling storyline. And if you play well enough, you could make it to the Detective Club. There, you'll chat with other players and compete with or against them. June needs your help, but watch out, you never know which character might be a villain. Shocking family secrets will be revealed, but will you crack the case? Find out as you escape this world and dive into June's world of mystery, murder, and romance. It's all just one tap away. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey. Download the game for free on iOS and Android. Goodbye.
All right, well, what's your real one if that was your fake one?
Okay, so then I changed it to a kind of one that everyone knows and loves. But this is going to be my favorite and, like, I think the most realistic answer, too.
Okay. Your favorite unsolved murder.
My favorite unsolved murder is the Black Dahlia.
Yes.
Is that yours?
Oh, my God. She was in my top three.
Was she?
Yeah.
Who was the other one that you didn't do?
Well, JonBenet, but I knew we'd already discussed her at length. JonBenet is the one that I want to know the answer the most.
Yeah.
And then the Black Dahlia second.
That reminds me. So there was a conversation about JonBenet in the Facebook group. It's called My Favorite Murder. Everyone join it.
Hi.
And someone brought a really good point up where they, you know, the really weird, the piece of that puzzle that doesn't make everything else fit is that there was a foreign DNA in her underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And someone brought up the fact that there was some kind of, like, you know, Reddit conversation where maybe that came from the manufacturer of those underwear.
Huh.
Like, I think they did some testing on other underwear from the same place in China. And maybe that's where the DNA is. Maybe it has nothing to do with the murder.
That would be an interesting thing But that must have come up before. Like, yeah. Underwear is usually what they test.
I've never
for
heard
DNA
of
in those. You've never heard of foreign
theory?
Oh no, I never have. But wouldn't you think that they would rule that out?
Yeah.
I don't know, but.
I don't know. I feel like there's so much bias in that case that it maybe wouldn't have crossed anyone's mind.
Maybe. It also opens that door to the whole sex ring, you know, thing that, like, it might not have had anything to do with what happened that night.
Totally.
But something bad was already happening to her anyway.
Yeah. Well, I would call that, like, outlandish, except that she was a beauty queen.
I know.
It's, like, so fucked up.
Yeah. That whole world. I just saw a picture of her today looking at my thing. And yeah.
If anyone knows the answer, tell us. We won't tell anyone that you told us.
Yeah.
We just want to know.
Yeah. If you killed JonBenet.
If you killed JonBenet Ramis, just email us. Think of a fake email address.
Real quick. Yeah.
Called JonBenet's Killer.
Just sign up for a Hotmail real quick.
Hotmail's fine.
And just can't be like, that. Here's what I did. Here's what I did. Here's why I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Super sorry.
Yeah. Oops. Okay, so, all right, so everyone knows the story of Elizabeth Short. Where am I? Elizabeth Short, the Black Dahlia. She was found in a vacant lot in Los Angeles, 39th and Norton, if anyone is in LA and wants to go find it. I think there's a house or a school there now. She was naked, cut in half. She was severely mutilated, posed in the grass. She had no blood left on her. And, of course, the detective said it looked like a medical man. They said that, or a man with vast medical knowledge had mutilated her. Recently I watched the James Ellroy documentary about, it's called Feast of Death. It's basically a bunch of men sitting around a table eating dinner, talking about murder and death, all men, because why would a woman know anything?
Well, if there's no women, they can really be themselves.
Right. So I found that psychologist Alicia Levere was a Herald Express writer, and she did a series of columns profiling the whole case. And she identified the person as a possible older woman who had either committed the crime or inspired the person who killed her.
Huh.
And all these reasons, it was like a psychological profile of why it could be a woman.
Is that person you're talking about that wrote those columns from back then or now?
It was from back then.
Okay.
And then John E. Douglas, he retired. There's a thing called the FBI Behavioral Analysis Unit, which, like, I'll intern. Like, you don't have to pay me.
Yes.
You know?
Where they're sitting there going, it's a single man between 30 and 35.
Hates his mom.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Love it.
He probably works at this job. Or that job.
Yeah.
Awesome. So he created a profile that kind of backed up her theory that it could have been an older woman who would have done this or inspired it. Okay. And then finally, researcher Larry Harnish had a theory that, and he had written an article in the LA Times on the 50th anniversary, and he uncovered a connection between the dump site on 39th and Norton Street and one of the suspects, who's now a suspect. And I think this is what James Ellroy's thing was about, that there was a 67-year-old doctor. Have you heard this theory before?
I think, well, tell me
and
about
you love it. 67-year-old doctor named Walter Alonzo Bailey. He used to live, in his estranged wife currently lived one block away from the dump site.
Whoa.
Okay, that's, like, interesting. What's more interesting is that Bailey's adopted daughter was friends with Elizabeth Short's. Why do I keep wanting to say Elizabeth Smart?
Because Elizabeth Smart's that girl that got kidnapped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Short's sister. So
Bailey's
70-year-old doctor's daughter. They were so close that the daughter was a witness in Elizabeth Short's wedding. So
whoa.
That's pretty, but there's no evidence that they ever met, but you're kind of like, they
but
had a know of each other.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was estranged from his wife who lived a block away. He left his wife for a mistress named Alexandria Parteka, who was also a doctor. And after Bailey's death in 1948. Again, the murder took place in 1947. It came out that he left this mistress all his money, and the estranged wife said it was because he had, quote, terrible secrets that could have ruined him.
Ooh.
And people are guessing that maybe he gave secret abortions, which were illegal at the time. And there was another theory a long time ago that a doctor who gave abortions had accidentally killed Elizabeth Short, perhaps. And that's where the murder had, you know, that's why he had to get rid of her body and not report it, is that he was giving abortions, which were illegal. But there's no evidence to support that she was ever pregnant, so we don't know that for sure. But we do know that Elizabeth Short used to tell men, maybe for sympathy, that she had a son who had died. And it turns out that Bailey did have a son who had died, and he died on years earlier, but it was January 13th, and her body was found on the 15th.
Oh.
So, I mean, pure speculation, clearly, but she's pleading with him to help her with whatever it is. This person that her sister knows, her sister doesn't live in town, she doesn't have anyone else who lives in town, goes to the doctor of her sister's friend, or father of her sister's friend. And then if it was a woman, then maybe she got jealous and killed this girl, killed Elizabeth Short. Maybe, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. And so he was 67. When he died, they found a degenerative brain disease he had. And it was known to produce violent behavior in otherwise passive individuals. And then one of the things was like, well, how would he have moved her body? Well, the body was fucking sliced in half.
Yes.
Maybe the body was sliced in half for an older man or a woman to be able to move.
To carry one piece at a time.
Yeah. Why was she drained of blood? Who knows? So, I mean, there's little pieces of it that I really, really love. You should. Feast of Death is on, I think it's on Amazon. It's definitely on YouTube. There's a little, you know, fucking James Ellroy is like,
he's a bit of a drama queen.
Yeah, he's too dramatic for his own good.
Well, he has his thing with his own mother, which
right.
is amazing. Like, it's amazing he can talk about it.
Totally.
But then it does add this. He's very intense.
It's very intense.
So you kind of like, it's
hard
already
to take
an intense
him seriously.
Subject. Yeah.
Well, his mom got kidnapped, and did they find her body or did they never find her?
I think they did find it.
Oh, she was on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Murdered.
Yeah.
And they think, who knows, the murderer was never found.
Yeah.
So he's clearly, and he was a little kid when this happened. He's psychologically fucked up from it. I've read a lot of his books up until a point where they like got too silly.
Right.
Where like the vernacular was just too like, beat poet.
Yes.
But before that, I fucking loved his books and I read all of them. They're great.
Yeah.
But this, I mean, it's still this is a good program to watch by yourself at night.
I remember watching something and this is bad to bring up, especially for our research heads, but there was something I was reading and it was the theory, and maybe this was a dramatized version, but it was like the theory that they took her to a place to murder her and torture her because clearly she was tortured.
Mm-hmm.
What I read when I was looking to see if I was going to do the Black Dahlia, one of the things I read really quickly was that she died from an injury to the head, but also those cuts on her face because mm-hmm. she had a smile cut into her face.
Ear to ear.
And the bleeding out, blood loss from those cuts.
Could kill you?
Yeah. So she, like, just because it was so much bleeding.
Wow.
So she was somewhere for an extended period of time just bleeding and
Jesus.
Being tortured.
Yeah, because head injuries bleed a lot.
Yeah, I think so. But also, like, you know, cutting into your cheeks.
Right.
And, I mean, that thing. And also just to find that. When I remember very first reading that story, and it's that picture of her upper body in the, you know,
in the grass. The angles of those are so disturbing.
It's so disturbing. And to think, because wasn't it a mother and a child?
Yeah, it was a mom, I think, with a stroller.
Walking up on that thing.
Yep, and they thought it was a mannequin.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a photo of it, of the scene with her body covered with a blanket. And it's, like, so obvious that the bottom part of her body is too long to be part. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's, like, they're not. Something isn't right with the length of her body, and it's because her fucking torso, her lower body is like. And did you see? I'd never seen really the cut really well until today.
Yeah.
It's pretty exact.
Yes. Yeah. And I think, I wonder if like cops today would immediately assume it was like a doctor or a medical man that did it, because I guess these days people can do much more and not have any training.
Well, but you have to think of like, oh, a butcher could do that. Like a barber could probably cut like that with a straight razor pretty well. Like, I think there's a lot of professions that could do that, not necessarily, but could they bleed someone that well?
Right.
Well, a butcher could.
A butcher could.
Can I tell you that one of my grandfathers was a butcher in LA and one of my grandfathers was a barber in LA, so it's probably one of them.
Whoa.
During that time.
And there's also a guy that thinks his father did it.
Yeah, that guy. And so that's the thing, is that James Ellroy backed his story too, and now isn't. Which, you know, that house is just down the street from here.
Really?
So this guy found photographs in his like evil fucked up father's possessions after he died, and one of them was a photo of what he thought was the Black Dahlia. If you look at it, it's clearly not.
Oh.
It's not her. I mean, but it's, there's similarities. And then this house that he had lived in then, which is in Los Feliz, and there's a gorgeous Art Deco house, it's incredible, had a secret room where this father guy would actually give abortions.
Oh.
And they had he had like hired someone to bring cadaver dogs in when he was like investigating it, and they honed in on that area. But this guy's a little full of shit. I think he thinks his dad is also the Zodiac killer, and like he's since gone on to be so incredible. However, the father did rape his daughter, as did he like let other people do it. She took him to court, and he got exonerated. So he's a piece of shit either way.
This
guy isn't wrong about his dad being terrible.
Well, and it's probably very easy for him to see and connect dots to things when it's like and it would probably be very vindicating to be like, he didn't just screw up our family. He's what everyone fears.
Yeah,
he's this monster.
Everyone, yeah, he's a monster. But
also, I think that whole story is fascinating, because everybody talks about like, oh, come to Hollywood, take the bus from Iowa, and find your dreams. And it's that seedy underside, this very real, like, and here's the other thing that happens. Women are exploited constantly. Yeah. And you get into a system of being beautiful and hoping that men, you know, you're appealing to men, and then men will give you money and all these things that it like, that the culture kind of, you know, encourages or supports. But then if you get into that, you're the one that gets punished for it.
And maybe you deserve to die. And
you
like, you know, she wasn't a prostitute, which is what they said in the beginning. She absolutely wasn't.
Right.
But she did go out with a lot of men because she would go out with them to eat because she didn't have enough money for dinner. Like that's what, you know, that's what it's like when you come to LA to be an actress, really. So that's not prostitution, but it's almost like, Do you, it's the thing of like, do you live the kind of lifestyle that would put you at risk? And that's one of them. And if you do, then it's your own fault for eventually happening upon someone. I also didn't know that her luggage had been checked at the Biltmore Hotel.
Oh, really?
And she's missing for 5 days. Like there's no, the last trace of her that anyone can confirm is on January 9th. And her body isn't discovered until the 15th.
Ugh.
So her getting kidnapped would make sense.
That's so creepy.
Yeah. That's my favorite
classic.
Unsolved murder.
Unsolved murder. And isn't there a movie with Josh Hartnett and like ScarJo?
It's based on on James Ellroy's book, The Black Dahlia, which is a really good book. The movie was stupid, but I liked the book a lot.
Yeah.
So go read that.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Craft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made-In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all made in.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com.
Goodbye.
Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
So, Karen.
Hi.
I have a question.
Well, mine is also takes place in Los Angeles.
I'm going to settle in. Get cozy for a story.
I went on a real roller coaster ride with this one because there's, of course, when you look at anything, you know, like I knew what I had known about it. But I swear to God, the second you go onto Reddit.
Oh, Reddit.
There's just a world of people who have already done so much research.
I love and you guys.
Who are obsessed.
Yeah. I forgot to credit where I got a lot of this information.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Can I do it real quick? Yeah. DerangedLACrimes.com, which is like, that's the best fucking.
DerangedLACrimes.com.
Made me think of that because of Reddit, which is like deranged, and I love it.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
Wait, that's a good website to go to for stuff like
that? It seems like it's a fun, like, blog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. I had my assumptions, and I was kind of writing what I thought was going on, and then a link led me to Reddit, and then it's just all these people are like, I already looked at that, and da-da-da, and it's just theory,
and here's
theory,
why
theory.
It couldn't be this, and here's, yeah.
It's fascinating.
That's so good.
This is the story of Elisa Lam, and she is the one... she is the 21-year-old Canadian student who took a trip to, she called it her West Coast tour. She had been in San Diego. She was stopping over in L.A. before she was going up north. And she checked in at the Cecil Hotel, which is a hotel downtown near Skid Row that used to be fancy. So she checks into the Cecil Hotel. She's traveling by herself, and so she checked in with her family every day, and so the last day that the day she disappeared, basically, she had gone to the last bookstore, and had a conversation with somebody there talking about books she was bringing home, hoping they could fit in her suitcase. Basically, when the cops talked to that person, it was like no one thought that she wanted to commit suicide or it wasn't right. Anything like that. She was supposed to check out on February 1st, and she never did. And so her family calls LAPD on February 1st and says, we haven't heard from her in days. There's something very wrong. You have to check this out. So they start looking into it, and they, on February 6th, they have a press conference where they say, if you've seen this person, and they release, or no, they have, they basically show pictures and they say, if you've seen this person, let us know, she's missing. And then, on, February 14th, they end up releasing this now very famous footage of her in the elevator at the Cecil Hotel. Now, this is what I remember because I saw this real time.
Yeah.
And this footage was on the news. I think the sound was down, and there's nothing creepier.
There's no sound? Oh, because you were just watching it.
I was watching the news, but there is no sound anyway because it's like closed circuit.
I see. So you look up and this thing is happening.
And this is on, and it's like, have you seen this girl? And this is the last known footage of her.
Oh my God.
And she is in this elevator, and she looks like it's halfway somewhere between her playing hide and seek with somebody and her running from somebody, because she gets in the elevator, she presses all the buttons, she puts her back up against the wall, then she peeks out, then she jumps out, then she does a little thing, then she comes back in.
It's playful, and it's not, it's, yeah, go on.
Yeah, it's just hard to, when it's presented on the news, mm-hmm. it's freaky, because it looks like someone's chasing her and she's trying to get the elevator to go.
Totally, it's chilling. And then it already looks like a Japanese horror movie without the rest of the story.
Exactly. We've seen this movie before.
Yes. Dark Waters.
So then, yes, exactly. So then 5 days later, after they released that footage, the people working in the Cecil Hotel had been getting complaints from everybody that was staying there.
This is the most
that the water smelled weird and had a weird color, and that the water pressure was really low. So a maintenance worker goes up onto the roof and checks the water cisterns that are on the roof, and Eliza Lamb's dead body is floating in one of the cisterns.
Elisa.
Isn't
it Elise or Elisa?
Elisa.
Okay.
Did I say Eliza?
I did. You it's did, Elisa. I said Elizabeth Smart. So clearly we're going to get yelled at by fucking so many people.
We mean well. It's Elisa Lamb. Okay. So it turns out, as the cops are trying to put this story together, one of the first things that they learned was she was bipolar, and she was on like 4 different medications for her bipolar. So, the tape from the elevator immediately puts into everybody's mind, she's being chased, she's being pursued, she's scared, she's freaking out because it's so weird. Well, then you find out that she's bipolar and she's on this medicine. And the day that she disappeared, she had been staying in a youth hostel style shared room, and she got moved out of that room and into her own room because the other women staying in that room with her were complaining of her odd behavior.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
Yeah. So she got moved into a private room because of odd behavior. So there is a theory that she stopped taking some of her medication, but she kept taking others, and she was taking Sudafed, and that combination, like there's some antidepressants or mood stabilizers. If you mess around with the levels and add in like Sudafed, you can have a psychotic break. So there's people who think that is what happened. She basically was having a psychotic break, was seeing, because you can have auditory hallucinations, visual hallucinations, and she basically got herself up onto the roof having all that happen. In a manic episode, you have all this energy, you don't stop moving, and it would make sense if she was messing around the elevator. But that's one very strong theory. On Reddit, there's a person who absolutely is like, this case is closed.
Yeah.
Because the coroner said that the death was drowning with this special circumstance of bipolar, like, being the reason.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the way she's acting in that elevator, you can only see one angle, which is inside the elevator and a little bit of the hallway. But when she turns, one time she jumps out, and this is like 2 minutes or more, it looks like she's talking to somebody up the hallway. Yeah. And she's not in the lobby. Sorry, I'm dying of consumption. She's actually on the 14th floor of this hotel. Mm-hmm. Now, as we all know, The 14th floor is the 13th floor.
Oh, Jesus.
They just change it.
Yeah.
And the Cecil Hotel also is a hotel that over the years has had so many jumper suicides that they stopped counting. Over 100.
Jesus.
People have jumped off of the Cecil Hotel. The 14th floor is also the top floor. So okay. It's basically a 13th floor hotel.
Holy
and
shit.
it's the hotel where Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, stayed in the middle of his, in killing spree in between San Francisco and LA. He stayed there for a little while.
So it's
and
a also, nice little cozy little,
a nice little
family
place.
Hotel.
And there was another serial killer who was Austrian who stayed there for a little while in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's bad vibes and bad juju.
Mm-hmm.
And also, so they were saying there were theories that she had to be with somebody because there was a lock. There was no access to the roof,
mm-hmm.
and it was alarmed. So people would have known if she had gone up there.
Right.
But then there's footage, and this is why I love Reddit, because it's mm-hmm. like so thoroughly researched.
Yeah.
There's a Chinese tourist who posted footage where he walks from the 14th floor up to the roof, up to the cisterns, and there's no alarm,
yeah.
there's no lock, there's no anything.
I think feel actually, like that had to be for the hotel to not be liable. They said that.
Exactly right. Yeah, because the parents were suing the hotel.
Totally.
But the weird thing is, I mean, like, so there's lots of people on Reddit who are saying, you know, like, that they had manic episodes, and when you're there, you get these ideas in your head, and you have a lot of, you know, you have a lot of energy and strength, and you know, you don't think, obviously, it's mania. So it made a lot of sense to them that she would, like, suddenly see those cisterns
yeah.
and be like, I'm going to get in there and swim around, or whatever idea that she may have had.
Plus, I think just because there's something as alarmed doesn't mean that whoever turns off the alarm or notices it is going to then go check and make sure everything's okay. Like, those are,
right.
you know, in a fucking shitty hotel where it's probably understaffed, the alarm goes off, the person in the lobby does a thing to turn it off, and that's it.
Right. But more likely, that's where, because they were saying that's where a lot of people went, like employees
right.
went up to smoke, that there was no alarm in the first place.
I bet even if there was a prop opening the door,
yeah.
like holding the door open for people who smoked.
Sure. The other thing is, when you see these cisterns, it like it's not like how I first imagined it, which
yeah,
is like
huge.
One of those big wooden ones you see in New York on
yeah.
roofs. It's four metal, like 10-foot tall containers
mm-hmm.
that are like, they almost look like they look like something from the war or whatever, where they almost look like big bullets.
Yeah.
So the idea that you would look at that and be like, I'm going to get into that, there's water in there,
mm-hmm.
like, that's weird to me.
Yeah.
You wouldn't look at it and be like, I'm going to go swimming. It just looks like it's a bunch of tanks. You wouldn't know what was in there.
Yeah.
Unless you had knowledge of that somehow. So there's, to me, all the things, like, taking everything into account, my own theory, because immediately when I first heard it, I was like, oh, that's, you know, there's supernatural maybe,
not
probably
really.
Not foul. I mean, I do love the idea. It's
yeah.
like, it's basically a death hotel, but then definitely foul play.
Yes, for sure.
But going up there, like, the idea that she would have the idea.
Well,
anyway,
yeah.
my theory is that I just don't. Oh, she got in, but then when they removed the body, they had to cut part of the top off
right.
to get her out. So which doesn't add to anything necessarily one way or the other. I just think there's foul play only because because if somebody is having, like, is off their meds or has a thing, I think that it's like a wounded animal in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that people are going to be nicer to you or take care of you. I think that means that if there's people around that would be
yeah.
What?
I'm listening. I'm sorry.
What? Sorry.
Oh my god. I'm sorry. You just got so mad at me. I was looking for a thing that I had seen on Google.
No, that's fine. I'm just trying to say, if there's people around that would harm you, that would actually be an attractor. If there's somebody acting weird, being weird, and then you're also in this murdery residential hotel where there are poor people that live there.
Yeah, it's a really bad neighborhood, too. It's not like it's a hotel, like down, you know, anywhere in L.A. It's like literally a block from Skid Row.
Yes. It's in the worst part of L.A. that you could be in.
Even the walk to the last bookstore is sketchy.
Yeah.
From that hotel.
Yeah, you don't... I mean, everything about the surrounding area is dangerous. If you're acting weird and you're kind of sending up those vibes, it's a bad situation. So yes, she could have, like, the mania. There's a lot of people who felt very strongly of like, this is exactly what happened. But also it's just such a perfect thing of like, oh, well, it's just this girl by herself who suddenly is like not okay. That's the second somebody notices that, all they have to do is look out their hotel room peephole and be like, oh, I'm going to go see if this girl wants to go take a walk on the roof.
Well, one thing I thought was interesting that I found on Reddit was that she, in the video, she's wearing someone's shorts. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Where someone was like, that looks like she's wearing a skirt, but they're clearly like board shorts or like cargo shorts. And they clearly weren't hers or what the kind of clothes she wore, because she was like a fashion blogger and really into fashion.
Oh.
And did they find her clothes outside of the tank?
No, but she was naked in the tank, but everything that was in there was with her in the tank.
So I guess, I mean, who knows? That could have been explained. Maybe she stole them from the hostel she was at. But the shorts that she has on in the video are...
A guy's
shorts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe she met someone staying at the hotel also, and fuck.
I know.
And there's definitely no drugs in her system, right?
No drugs in her system, and... Yeah, and all the things that would explain that, like alcohol, drugs. She went to a bar that night, mm-hmm. but all the things that all the theories of people saying maybe someone drugged her, that's why she was acting so weird. Mm-hmm. They're not in her system.
Yeah, they would have clearly done tests for that.
And here's the really irritating part: they took a rape kit, but they never processed it.
What?
Because they just figured, what's the point since we know she did it, basically.
Fuck.
So we kind of never know. It's a little bit the perfect murder in that way, if that's what happened, because she's in the water. Nothing. There will be no evidence on her body. And
can they tell exactly how long she was in there? Was she in there from the night of the video?
Yeah.
Until they found
her? She was in there for like 3 weeks.
So you probably can't find a ton of evidence after your body's been in the water that long.
No.
I'm really sorry. I was looking up this thing that I wanted to tell you while you were telling the story, that there was some tuberculosis drug. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that is the same as her initials?
It's called the Lam Elisa test.
Right. Elise.
Lisa. E-L-I-S-A. It's an S, not a Z. That there was an outbreak of tuberculosis on Skid Row.
Yeah.
That's just a weird coincidence.
It's just like the weirdest coincidence I've ever heard of in my life. That there was a test or something called the Lam Elisa.
Yeah.
Test.
It's just her name.
It's her fucking name.
Yeah.
What in the fuck is this world?
There's a couple of other alleyways that I'm not going to go down now because I don't know them well enough.
Yeah.
But all you have to do is go onto Reddit or go onto YouTube.
Yeah.
And people have like talked through all of them
yeah.
that are like, there's about like invisible cloaking
what?
And like all this different stuff, just theories.
I watched the video with my face so close to the screen to like try to see any abnormalities or anything weird.
Well, but here's what is interesting, that the numbers on the tape, whatever that's mm-hmm. called, the time code on the tape mm-hmm. is distorted. And they don't know if the cops distorted it or the hotel distorted it. But there is a full minute missing in the tape.
What the
People
fuck?
Have studied the like messed up time code enough to see when it clicks over to another minute, but like whatever. So the tape itself is really, really weird.
You know what? Another thing about the tape being weird that I thought was really interesting was that she's pressing all the buttons and the elevator never leaves or closes the door.
Because she's pressing the elevator hold button.
Oh, she is.
Which people have gone there and tested. It will hold it open for 2 minutes.
Oh.
So she presses, she's on 14. So she presses 14, 10, 7, 4 or whatever. Uh-huh. She goes right down the center mm-hmm. and elevator hold.
Oh.
So it's, you can't figure out if she's playing a game, if she's trying to get out of there as quickly yeah. as possible. There are some people say that's what you're supposed to do if you're afraid somebody's following you.
Oh, because then they won't know what floor you get
they
off
don't know
on.
Where floor you're on, and every it'll open every time, so you'll have every chance of seeing somebody else.
I've never heard that.
Yeah,
that is fucked up.
And the other thing is they slowed the tape down when they released it to the public. Oh. It's actually 125% slower than it should have been.
Why?
So when you speed it up, I don't know.
Yeah.
It looks creepier when she does like the hand movements and stuff.
Totally.
And they don't know if it's just to get people's attention
yeah.
or to make it look weirder than it is or what.
But, or maybe like if there's some splicing in it, you wouldn't notice it as much if it were slower.
Exactly. If there's a minute missing, then you wouldn't notice
right. it. Right. Does it like, okay, do you think that she looks scared or that she's playing a game, like in your heart of hearts?
Well, I think, I also read, my initial reaction was fear, only
yeah.
because she does that thing where she puts her back up against the wall.
Yeah.
But then there's a website that's like based on body language.
Oh, yeah.
Breaks down where she's very calm. Her body is relaxed
mm-hmm.
and everything she's doing is playful
Blowing,
and relaxed.
Yeah.
And it looks like there's a lot of flirting body language within the movements.
Or that she's playing with a kid, like almost like. To me, it was like she's playing with a little kid.
Yeah.
And trying to amuse a child.
It's very childlike. Although there is one part where they specifically say this is like flirting. This is definitely a flirting movement of like she puts her hands up but then she like reveals her armpits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a whole thing that's very, it's like sexual preening
oh my goodness.
Is what they call it.
Well, everyone,
so they, and yeah. it's the, and she's looking up the hallway.
Totally.
So it's exactly where you can't see the person.
Is she looking where the door to the water tower is? Or is she looking the other way, I wonder?
I don't know. That would be good to, like, go and
yeah.
stand there and look at. But I think in the Chinese guys, I mean, it literally is all in Chinese. I have no
yeah.
idea what he's actually saying. But when he does it, he just walks you up
yeah.
out the elevator and up. So it looks like there's another, you have to walk up more stairs to get up
like
to that
floor
exit.
Floor that the elevator doesn't go up to.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. yeah, it's not, like, right there.
I mean, those places are never locked, and they never have fucking alarms.
To me, I think ultimately there is a good theory with the messed up videotape is so overt and it's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
And like, why is it edited? Why is it slowed down? What's happening? Why can't we see what's in that other minute?
Yeah.
They tacked on just the elevator opening and closing
right.
at the end to nothing. So they left on footage that no one needs at all, but then they took out a minute in the middle. That doesn't make sense.
Do you think that's one of those things that they do where it's like they take something out that only the person involved would know in case there's ever any person comes forward with information and they can be like, well, I mean, maybe she threw something or maybe she like, maybe, you know, she did an extra thing that only the person she was doing it to or with would know.
Maybe. But then why not just use 15 seconds? Like why?
Yeah.
It's being sold or presented as if it's continuous. And that's what's
yeah.
weird.
Oh, right. Like something else, something, the thing is going to happen.
Yes.
Like
and to me, it adds up to, or to me, it points a finger. I believe it could have been a manic episode where she just found herself up there. And that's
mm-hmm.
it definitely possible, but it doesn't seem that probable.
Mm-mm.
To me, it seems probable that there's another person involved and that person works at the hotel.
Totally.
So he doesn't have to be around her at any point during the day, but he sees her at that one point in night and
mm-hmm.
does something and then puts her body where no one would find it.
Okay. So, yeah.
Possibly.
I get it.
But
or lures her in there. Was she able to get out on her own when she got in there? Maybe
no.
lured her in there and then she couldn't get out. So she did drown, technically, but it's foul play.
Well, but it's like, he would already be in it, you mean?
No, or have been like, let's go swimming in here.
Oh, like it was his idea.
Yeah.
Yes, possibly. But then why would she throw all her stuff in there?
Oh, God.
Like, why wouldn't, if it's like a skinny dipping thing, just leave it.
So all of her shit was just in there.
In there with her.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he threw it in after her, fucking closed the door and latered.
Could have been that. And also could have been if it was her idea by herself to go in because she wanted to be in water. Mm-hmm. When she's in there, it's hard to tread water with clothes on.
Take your clothes off.
Yeah.
I just saw this thing about this woman. I think it was in Japan where she fucking got locked in an elevator for 30 days and starved to death.
No.
Yeah, like they went away on a Christmas vacation or whatever the fuck, and they were supposed to check the elevators and make sure no one was in there, and they didn't. And like there was a woman fucking like that's the thought of being in a water tank.
Oh yeah.
Like, I wish I had a gun right now. I'd just kill myself.
Do you think all the electricity was off?
I think they, like, you know, when you turn it off, you turn off the elevator shaft to stop working.
So she was just in a black box for 30 days?
Who knows when she died, but when you die of starvation, and so probably...
Oh, that's pretty quick, actually.
Is it like 7 days?
Weeks. Yeah.
That's a fucking long time.
It's a long...
Jesus. That's a fucking incredible story.
It's a... I want to know what happened.
I do, too. Would you rather know JonBenet... or Lisa Lam?
JonBenet.
Would you rather know Black Dahlia or Lisa Lam?
JonBenet.
Yeah, me too.
Also, Black Dahlia, I feel like, is going to be disappointing because back then you could kill people much easier.
Yeah.
Like, and also I think if Elisa's story is that it was just this manic episode and she just...
What a bummer.
...lost her shit, it's just the total tragedy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm not. Only in it for the, like, what factor?
Or I'm in it for the, like, well, that could never happen to me.
Yes.
And if it's, like, someone killed her, then you're like, well, I can avoid that. But if it's, like, oh, she just fucking lost it and, like, thought it'd be fun to go. Like, I would think that before.
Of course.
I've gone swimming in stupid places before.
You want to go up high. You're like, mm-hmm. Oh, I want to see the city. And I'm like
I'm in alone in this big city. And this is, like, my first time away from my family. She's also at the really good ripe age for what's it called? The crazy people.
Schizophrenia?
Yes.
Yes. That's right.
That's like around that age. So she might have been having some symptoms to begin with.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first saw that, I was like, bath salts. Totally. She ate bath salts.
Oh, yeah.
She got bath salts on Skid Row and fucking jumped in the tank.
Uy.
But I doubt it.
So bad.
It's so bad.
I mean, a lot of people on Reddit were just talking about how careful you have to be when you have mood stabilizers and like antidepressants and all this stuff.
I didn't know that. I'm on both of those.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you have to be careful.
No,
well, just you have to do exactly what the doctor says.
Okay. I don't do that. Should we read some favorite? Oh, you have a recording.
Oh, that's right. I asked my friend Karen Anderson, who does Doug Loves Food, the Doug Benson Food Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
She's the co-host, stand-up comedian, writer. A friend to all, and I asked her, we grew up very close to each other.
Oh, really?
She grew up in Novato, which is the town next to Petaluma.
Man, you guys are ripe for fucking crimes.
Yes. And apparently she got a good one, so she left me a message today.
And you haven't heard it either yet?
I have not. I heard the first 5 seconds to make sure
it
recorded. Let's see. So here it is.
Hi. Oh, Karen. This is Karen. I'm here to tell you about a murder that took place. It took place in 1980 in Novato, California, sleepy little town. You might have heard of it since it's the next town over from your house. It was a terrible thing that had happened. My sister's friend had moved to Novato with her stepdad, you know, when the stepdad's in the picture, and in a murder situation, I think you know who did it. Anyway, her and her sister and her mom, they moved to Novato, and they were there for 2 years, and my sister got to know this girl. And the dad and the mom got in a big fight, and I guess she said she was going to take the kids away for a while or something. And he ended up keeping them hostage in their house for 5 hours and, you know, threatened to kill everybody. But finally, I don't know what happened to set him off, but... like the mom, he shot at the mom 2 times. She got away. She ran away out the back door. And then he went up the stairs to the girl's bedroom, and the older girl was holding the littler girl. I think they were 14 and 10, holding the younger one. And the stepdad shot the older one in the back of the head a couple times. And then I don't know if he tried to shoot the little one. And then he shot himself on the stairs. They found him on the stairs. And the older one died, my sister's friend.
Jesus.
And then the little one survived, and the mom survived, is from what I remember. And anyway, I hope that makes your day. All right.
Wow.
Oh, man.
That 10-year-old is just fucked.
That is a horror movie. That's like the stepdad horror movie.
There's so many thoughts that go through my head, mostly for the survivors and the mom's guilt for running.
Mom's guilt.
What was she supposed to do? Like, she ran to go get help.
And also, she'd been shot at. Like, that's right. A fight or flight. That's reptilian brain.
Yeah. Like, he was clearly going to kill her. She got lucky. But it's like, why did you leave your kids? And it's like, oh
my God. Well, and also they're upstairs. She can't get past him.
Totally.
She would have been killed trying.
It's like, what is she going to run up there and lead him to chase after her into the kids' rooms? Maybe she was like, if I run out of here, he'll come after me and leave the kids alone.
Yeah, probably. I mean, or who?
You don't think anything.
You're probably in shock. Yeah. You don't even know what you're doing. Horrible.
How that breaks my heart that the big sister was like trying to protect the little one.
I know.
My first thought is like, just kill me too. Like, I would just want to be killed too.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Well, also, there is that thing too, that when people survive things like that,
mm-hmm.
I have to say the bad part of me is like, oh, he killed himself on the stairs. Good.
Thank God. Oh, for sure.
Good. That's what he should have done. He should have done it first.
Because then that fucking 10-year-old would be going to parole hearings for the rest of her life, making sure he didn't get out. And always be a little bit terrified that he was going to escape or fucking get out or, you know.
Yeah.
Him being dead is the best outcome of this story.
Yeah, for sure.
Which, it's like, do you believe in the death penalty? That's such a hard thing to say, but I believe in you fucking killing yourself.
Yeah, you do it yourself.
Yeah. Although, then it's like he escapes any kind of punishment.
I know, but God.
I know.
The choices.
I know. It turns out life is hard.
It's difficult. And I think the things that fascinates me is like, yeah, that was one town over from where I grew up.
Crazy.
I've never heard that story before.
It's insane.
I had no idea that that even happened.
The fact that she was friends with the... Was friends with... Ugh.
I know. It's just like, it's you're a step away from it.
Totally. Like, what if you had spent the night that night?
Yeah, exactly.
What if she spent the night at your house that night?
Yeah.
Or what if... Then I think of like, what if those things have happened where it's like... And you just will never know that, like, you almost died that night. But if you hadn't spent the night at this person's house, you didn't.
It's kind of like there's that it has a metal detector feel to it of, like, what's underneath? Mm. What is possible? What's there that I don't know is there?
Yeah, that must be why we love metal detectors.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's a normal thing for people who love true crime is being into metal detecting.
Probably, right?
Right.
Investigations. Yeah. It's almost, it's like, you know, in Minority Report, where it's like the futuristic idea of like, you can know if something's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's like, if you can know that you just missed some crazy shit happening to you.
Would you want to know?
I don't think it'd be good for you.
No, I don't think so either.
I think it'd be
bad. But at the same time, that's all I think about. Is what's going to happen? What did I miss? How do I avoid this? How do I avoid that? So I think about it all the time anyways.
Yeah.
And it'd be nice to be like, to have some like, yeah, you're right. So you can be like, okay, good. This is
why. But what if you were so right all the time that you're just like,
geez, cars just keep crashing through fucking windows while I'm sitting next to them. Do you want to, let's read, like, maybe we'll both read one person's hometown.
Okay. Before, you mean before I die?
Yeah, before
of
you
my
die
lung
of
disease.
Yeah. So we always have you guys either email us at myfavoritemurder@gmail.com, on the Facebook group. We have a Twitter, myfavemurder, and you tell us your hometown murders, which we love. But this time we said tell us your favorite unsolved murder.
Yes.
Do you like that better? Or do you like, so you want to do one hometown and I'll do one unsolved that's not hometown? Or should I look for a
I think this one that I have is is unsolved. Okay. But I think that's just by chance.
Okay. I think the one I have is just her favorite murder that's unsolved.
Okay.
You want to go? You want me to go?
You go.
Okay. So this girl's name is Lauren. We also told you guys we would stop saying your full names. I totally didn't think about that. Sorry.
I did not think about that at all.
I'm like, doesn't everyone want to be fucking Loudon and famous and shit?
For real.
Yeah. Just because we're famous doesn't mean everyone else is.
People are like, could I have a little bit of privacy?
Yeah. We talked about your stalker and then we, okay.
I like though that a lot of people have adjusted in like, in it, they're signing it like just with their last initial where it's God. Thank you. You're helping me.
Sorry guys. We won't do that again.
Yeah, we won't. We
so will. Lauren S. She says, the one that gets me is the boy in the box.
Oh, yes.
In 1957, a boy believed to be about 5 years old was found on the side of the road wrapped in a blanket inside of a bassinet box, having been killed by blunt force trauma. Worst way to go. He was freshly bathed, fingernails clipped, and his hair was crudely cut. He had an old medical-related scar. He had old medical-related scars in addition to fresh bruising and signs of past trauma. He appeared to be malnourished. No one had ever come forward to claim him or with any plausible explanation of who he may have been. He is also known as America's unknown child. That's a fucked up, sad shit.
No, didn't you tell me? I thought we talked about it on here that they found DNA evidence to figure out who he was.
Did I do that when we were?
It was
the beginning.
It was at the beginning of the show update.
Right. So
I just saw this one because I was looking up unsolved murders and he came up. There was illustrations of what he looked like when he was found in that box.
I mean, clearly he was either in a foster situation. It was in Chicago, right?
It was in, I thought it was Baltimore.
Okay.
Or Philadelphia.
Okay. Somewhere we can get just lost in the system.
But also two different people found him and didn't report it. Before the final person did.
The fuck, you guys?
I think that the, like, a hunter found it and then didn't say anything. And then the second person waited a full day.
Oh, my God. The thing about him being found in a bassinet box is that that makes me think either at a home for children or a foster. Yeah. Like, crowded foster house.
Crowded.
Foster. Yeah. Where, like, yeah.
Yes. Television. Hey, Karen in Georgia. First of all, I love your show. I love true crime. And I wish I had friends like you to talk about it with. Well, now you do. This is from Alex H. So this is a secondhand story. My mom told me recently she grew up in the Rochester, Spencerport, New York area. And she lived there when the three Alphabet murders happened. Just a little background info in case you weren't familiar. Three young girls were raped and strangled in Rochester, New York. And they all had double initials. And their bodies were all left in towns that started with the same letter as their first and last names.
What?
The three girls are Carmen Cologne, 10, disappeared November 16th, 1971. She was found 2 days later in Riga, New York, near Churchville, 12 miles from where she was last seen. Michelle Mayenza, 11, disappeared November 26th. 1973. She was found 2 days later in Macedon, New York, 15 miles from Rochester. And Wanda Walkowitz, 11, disappeared April 2nd, 1973. She was found the next day at a rest area off of State Route 104 in Webster, New York, 7 miles from Rochester. These cases were also connected to another set of double initial murders in California. One of the victims there was also named Carmen Cologne. I don't know much about these, in parentheses.
Same name?
Yeah, there were a few suspects over the years, including Kenneth Bianchi, who was ice cream vendor in Rochester and who later became one of the two Hillside Stranglers.
Yes.
Another suspect was Carmen Cologne's uncle. My mom was in third grade at Holy Redeemer Catholic School when the first murder in New York happened in 1971, and she was in the same class as the New York Carmen Cologne's younger sister, Angela. And she had been at Carmen and Angela's house just a couple weeks before the murder for a birthday party. Even if you don't read this on the show, you should totally talk. Because it is some really freaky shit. You're exactly right, Alex. That is nuts.
I would, Karen, go change your fucking name.
Karen Kilgariff would have been.
Later days. How many people changed their name in Rochester around that time? Do you think that had fucking double?
Little girls with double letter.
Because that meant research.
That guy was, that was like, what, do you work at a school?
Did he work at a, yeah, maybe he was like a worked at a school. And you know, and the weird thing is the towns that he left them in.
Yes.
That's some fucking OCD shit.
it's weird. And it's, you know what? That is the kind I'm the most interested in, is that tricky, hooked in, like that's that Seven kind of stuff where there's theories and there's whole storylines going on that no one even understands or knows about.
Well, that's what you want the murders to have, because then it is so much more interesting than there's just some fucking creepy, gross dude doing this. Instead, it's like, okay, here's, we just need to solve this. And it's a really smart person doing all these things. I mean, it sounds like an obsessive thing that maybe the person doing it doesn't even want to be doing it, but feels like a compulsion to do it.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like, you know how OCD people are. It's like you're setting things right by doing these things over and over again. You're like,
or you know how sometimes it turns out where it's like their sibling who died had the double letters. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's some weird, they're acting out something else that had already happened.
Or their mom was abusive and had double letters, or Jesus.
Double letters.
Don't do it.
It's so random.
It's so random.
And yet very specific.
I mean, what if it is, it sounds, I mean, if there was a serial killer, a now known serial killer living in that time, in that area at that time, I mean, it's probably him. Bianchi. Is it Bianchi?
I mean, that's a very strange thing that would happen there. Although they did like teenage girls and older.
Yeah, but maybe
these are little kids.
Separately, they did that. Maybe it was the other one's inclination.
Oh, right. It was Anthony Buono's preference to do the older ladies.
So he went along with it, but like, oh, guys.
Guys, this has been heavy.
We really want, you know what I want more than anything is not to have any more topics to cover on this podcast. Like, I just want this to turn into like we start talking about like tea.
Let's never do that.
Because we run out of murder to talk about. You know what I mean? Like, they just stop murdering.
We're like, have you ever had Moroccan mint?
Yeah.
Oh, it's delicious.
It's great to sip while crime rates go down. Crime rates plummet. Dude.
And the world turns perfect around us.
I mean, it's a little overpopulated. I'll give you that.
Thank you, President Trump.
Yeah.
You've really solved all our problems.
By locking people up before they can murder people.
Just getting rid of everybody.
Yay. This was a long one, but I think it's been chock full of fun stuff.
You could probably snip some stuff out in the middle.
Yeah. Where can we find everyone? We can find them on our Twitter.
Oh, yes. On Twitter. There's a Facebook group. If you go there, you have to ask to join it. So don't lose faith. You just have to, what do they do? Click something?
Yeah, just say approve, and then I approve them. And that's just so you can talk with impunity.
Oh, impunity? Right.
And, you know, it's a private group because we don't want your sister to see that you're in a group called My Favorite Murder.
Oh, but yeah, but there's nothing to do. You just have to ask to be in.
Yeah, you just ask.
You'll be let in.
Immediately.
Yeah, and then there's the Twitter, and then there's myfavoritemurder@gmail.com to send us your hometown murders.
Yay!
Which we love.
We love.
I'll get better so that I'm not dying of emphysema next time we record.
It's sexy emphysema. Super sexy. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Don't go in the water tank. Bye.
Bye.